Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento, Sacramento, Sacramento,
Sacramento. Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has two kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
Everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 91. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner B Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at K-A-P, Cap in America. Kaplan, on the podcast today, we have comedian Peter Wong.
All right, from the Wong family.
From the famous Wong family, New York City comedian Peter Wong. Peter, not only is he a comedian, but for our 4th of July episode, happy 4th of July, everybody.
He's a fireworks expert.
He is a DACA
dreamer. Even better, even more on brand.
How about that? Last year, we had Ye came in for 4th of July. She just got here.
Yeah.
He's been here a very long time. He's going to tell us all about what it means to be someone in, is it called a DACA member? I'm not even sure what they're called.
This is a term I never heard of until like a year ago, even though it's been a issue for a while.
Yeah,
I never even know there was a DACA.
Obama came up with it. Well, we're going to find out. A number of years ago.
I'm really ignorant on this issue. I'm just going to go in. I did no research. I'm going to sound like a total ass, so the listeners should know that going in.
But as far as I know, Obama came up with it years ago. It wasn't really in the news until Trump came along and like outlawed it.
Obama created this problem is what you're telling me, right?
I'm not telling you that.
He created these dreamers.
No, these dreamers are real people. They're in America. And now he's here. So we'll find out for 4th of July.
It's very alt-middle of us. We're having him on, but we don't really know what he is. Perfect.
Exactly.
That's alt-middle. That's as
But before all that, Kaplan,
We
have a live podcast July 11th at Stand Up New York Comedy Club. We have more things to announce right now.
Oh, yeah?
Should we just do it?
Drum roll it.
What you've already heard, we have DC Benny coming on. Did we already say that?
I think so.
We have, you know,
it's fresh.
Iman El Husseini coming in.
Longtime pod favorite.
Longtime pod favorite. We have Donnie Does flying all the way in from China for this. He lives in Shanghai. He's here for a couple weeks. He's coming to do the live podcast. The Barstool Sports favorite, the guy who makes those crazy videos in China.
I was just in Boston. I'm going to talk to him all about it when he's here.
Oh, it'll be great. And the last thing, we have one more guest. It's going to be a surprise when we get there.
But we don't even know.
One more thing. We have Ming River Baijiu, a Baijiu company, coming on. They're brand new. They've been in China for a very long time. It's a super well-known brand in China. They've rebranded themselves, coming to America. They've just got here, and they're going to be
sponsoring us.
Is that the word you're looking for? Sponsoring the live pod. But that means
Baijiu to America. We made this happen.
Yeah, and they're making cocktails.
No one ever heard about Baijiu before us.
Not before us.
Before our drinking podcast.
You have
season one.
Us to thank, America. So they're gonna be making cocktails at Stand Up New York. We've worked it out with the club. The club's gonna bring them in. They're gonna make cocktails. You can get drinks while you're watching. We might have to drink it on stage. It's gonna be wild.
So come to this podcast, even if you don't think it's gonna be very funny, you might get blackout drunk. You know,
there's always a positive.
A beverage you've never had before.
Exactly.
You might be seeing stars.
Ming River Baijiu. It's a famous river. Probably, I don't know.
The best river for Baijiu.
It's the best river.
It's the water.
It's all about the water. We only deal with the best rivers. It's like bagels.
They say you need Brooklyn water to make good bagels in America. You need Ming River water to make
exactly.
the best Baijiu. That's what they say.
And we only deal with the best rivers.
Only the best for you listeners.
Yes. I was just, before we move on, I want to say shout out to the fine people in Ruidoso, New Mexico, and El Paso, Texas. I was just there doing two shows. Absolute blast. Tons of alt-middles came out.
So, you mean Trump voters? What do you mean by that?
No, I will not go any further. I will just say a lot of alt-middle fans came out. They love the pod. They love us.
They love Dreamers.
They love Dreamers. We're bringing America back together. That's okay, what we're doing on this podcast.
What part of Texas was this?
El Paso, Texas.
Oh, did you walk over to Juarez while you were there?
I did not. I was afraid of if I could get back. I wasn't 100% sure. But I was at this country club, the El Paso Country Club. Great time. Crazy country club. It is... It's golf, so the 18-hole golf course in Texas, but directly, when I say directly, I mean a block away from the border of New Mexico to the west and a block away from the border of Mexico to the south. So you can lose your ball and need a passport to go pick it up in Mexico.
It's still better than having to go to New Mexico, so.
Easy, easy, easy. All right.
And I was just in Boston.
You were.
Complete diametrically opposite of you.
Yes.
And it's like the...
I don't know. There's a lot of alt-middles in Boston.
Well, I thought that going in, because when I used to go to Boston all the time, because Randy, my wife's from there. Her family moved away. I haven't been there in years.
Sure.
Now it's changed a lot. There's vegan restaurants left and right. I got Soul Cycles all over the place. I saw a massive anti-ICE rally. People are very, very liberal over there all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, we're all over the place in this country.
There was a lot of gluten-free stuff. I couldn't believe this was Boston. I was like, are you guys supposed to be racist pricks?
You're right. That is... Well, okay. Yeah. Okay, should we move on?
Yeah, let's move. Keep moving.
Amazon, guys. You want to support the show? You can't come to... First thing you got to do, come to our live show. That's the best way to support this show. Right? You come, you hang out with us, you get to meet us. Blue Shirt might be there. We don't know. We got to confirm.
Weber might be there.
Weber always might be there. Yeah. I don't know if he's actually...
Mom is going to be there.
Whoa!
Jan Kaplan is going to be there for her birthday.
Wow!
I thought she's spending her birthday, so everyone come, bring her a birthday present.
There you go! Yeah. Okay, so you want to hang out with Jan Kaplan, you want to hang out with Michael Kaplan, you want to hang out with Turner Sparks, you got to come to the live pod. But if you can't do that, if you're in some other state... If you're anywhere else in the world, go to Amazon.com. No, first, go to LostInAmericaPod.com.
Yeah,
click the Amazon banner. It'll take you back to your regular shopping on Amazon, but do it through us. We get a percentage. Everybody hits. That's it.
And these listeners, I want to thank them, really, because Teddy Kaplan, a few weeks ago, I talked about the walkathon he was doing.
Yes.
And I asked listeners
to
donate.
At his school.
And guess what happened? We got a letter, came home, and the last days of school, he won. He raised the most money of any kid in the entire school.
Really?
So I want to thank the Lost in America listeners.
Look at the power of the pod.
And he got a Fitbit out of it, which is a kid's UNICEF Fitbit, which is amazing because he keeps track of all his walking steps, and you get to see, like, you walk around, like, all of a sudden you're, like, walking, and next thing you know, you're, like, in Guatemala. It tells you, like, you're walking around the world, basically.
Well,
it's
great.
It's a very Lost in America Fitbit.
I was going to say, that's the number. You should have got him this years ago, because doesn't he always get lost?
He does get lost.
And now you might not be able to find him, but the government can. They
the
can track
can
him
track
wherever
him.
He goes.
And, I also want to say, big scam. They said that you'd win a pizza party if you raised the most money.
Uh-oh.
But that was for the class. And his class, somehow they're saying, didn't win the most money, just
Uh-oh.
He did. So the rest of his class is a bunch of freeloaders.
Uh-oh.
Because of them, no pizza party. But Teddy got a Fitbit. So thank you, listeners.
Last question. Should we get our listeners on this? Should we demand a pizza party for one for Teddy Kaplan?
I mean, the school year's over, but let's demand it to start. Yeah, this first day of first grade, he will be, if he gets a pizza party, they'll think he's like a royalty or
and
a celebrity.
And if he doesn't, what's his teacher? Let's get her fired. Or him.
I don't know the teacher of first grade.
All right. Let's get to Lost in America. Ooh, we got a special one coming up.
All right.
Let's get to Lost in America.
Play the music.
All right, we're back. Love the music. Love De'Aaron Roots. Kaplan, very special Lost in America today. We've been talking about it. I think we mentioned this on the pod a couple months ago. Our listeners have been clamoring for it. We've got tons of tweets, tons of social media messages coming in. They want to hear Cooking the Books with Gary Sparks.
Yeah.
So they want it. Cap, I don't know anything about accounting. About my own accounting. You don't know anything about your own accounting.
I mean, we just did our taxes. It was a disaster. I owed money to the government somehow. I don't like that.
Andrea Jones-Roy, our frequent third chair, if you want to call her that, didn't even do her taxes. She forgot. Yeah. And then she found out that she didn't make enough money anyway, so it didn't matter. Wow. All of us are lost
what
in America. Pay?
What is Nate Silver paying her over there?
Not enough. None of us know how to do taxes, but all I know is all I want to do, I want to expense stuff. I want to write stuff off, as they said. That's the great Seinfeld episode.
I like to deduct everything. I don't know what it means. I just want to deduct it.
So Gary
I don't want to have to go anywhere without deducting it. So
exactly.
He's going to help us, right?
He is a CPA in America. I don't know if he wants us saying the name of
his
firm.
He's never been disbarred or anything?
As far as I know, he has not been disbarred.
His clients have never been audited?
No, as far as I know. Never been audited. He's 100% hit rate.
Wow.
All right, so let's get him on. He's a high-priced...
Do we have Cook in the Books music?
We do have Cook in the Books.
All right.
Music.
Can we play the Cook in the Books music?
Play the music. About that music, Kaplan.
Yeah. Was that by DeMarcus Bagley? Was
yes, it was. DeMarcus Bagley bringing in the great tunes for us. Kaplan. All right. We have Gary Sparks on the line
What's
now.
What's going on, Mr. Sparks?
Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Welcome to the
hanging
show.
Hanging in here, you know?
Is this your podcast debut?
It is. I've not been on a podcast before.
Wow. Exclusive. All right. First question. We got some tax questions. Because, you know, taxes are getting expensive these days.
Yeah. I don't save any money. I don't know. Do you advise clients to put money aside for then the taxes they're going to have to pay in April? Are they supposed to plan for this?
Yes, I do. There are not many of them that do it, but I advise them to do it. I do have one client who, in particular, puts half of his commission in a separate account. And at the end of the year, if he's got more money in that account than his taxes, he just has a little bonus, and he goes out and gives it to his wife, and she spends it.
Wow, Tyler Sparks, saving his money well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do the other way around. I intentionally don't save money up, so then I'm like, sorry, I can't buy you this, Randy, because I got to pay for the taxes.
That's another strategy. And then you got the rebate. I always hear about a tax rebate. I was very excited about that when it came
back
to America.
Yeah. They call it a refund.
Yeah, you get a refund. I remember there used to be this commercial when I was a kid when the guy would get his refund and buy a guitar. And that always seemed like a good money-saving strategy is to just get money.
Yeah.
So, Kaplan, you got your question first. We both have questions on how we're going to save money this year, specifically Kaplan.
Because I used to get money. I used to get that refund. I used to go on a shopping spree. And for the past few years, I've been paying taxes. And I don't want to pay taxes anymore.
Nobody does.
So I need to find some more things to deduct. So now that I'm a podcaster, professional, we make money, right?
Yes.
We're bringing it in. So I can deduct. So I just got back from Europe is my first question. I was just in Spain. And when I'm in Spain, I'm always doing research. I can't enjoy myself. I'm on business. I'm doing research for this podcast. I want to feel lost.
You're stressed out.
I'm stressed out. I'm lost in Spain. I'm an American. I got to think about differences.
You're writing for the pod.
I'm writing for the pod. So.
Although not very much based off of last week's episode.
Well, we can put some more in if we need to for the tax man. So my question is you, I can deduct 100% or 90% of that trip?
Well, it depends on how much risk you want to take.
All right.
I like to gamble.
We're gamblers over here.
You have to really be there on business, and you have to be able to support the fact that the reason you traveled over there was specifically for business. So, if you, and then to the extent that you can support that, then you can deduct what your travel expenses are. There's a new rule about deducting entertainment expenses.
Hoo la la.
And those are just non-deductible.
Oh.
So if you went to the
that's a bad new rule.
Follies in Germany or wherever you were. Where were you in Spain, right?
I was in Spain, and if I said I went there for a wedding, I was lying. I went there for the podcast, and I just happened to stumble into a wedding, I guess.
Kaplan, what you should have done is leading up to the trip, you should have been talking about it on the podcast.
Like
I'm going for pod research.
Yeah, and I just stumbled into a wedding. I didn't know these people.
And then you could send the IRS our podcast, get a few new listeners, and save some money.
Right. But entertainment expenses, like when you take someone out for lunch or something who's a client or something? Or what does that mean? Or a concert? Or
no, it's more like taking your client to a soccer game or taking your client to play golf.
That's not American. So you can't deduct golf.
Or to
American.
A concert.
I can't believe it.
You know, taking your client out to lunch is a different deal. That's not entertainment. That's really just a business meal.
If you have lunch at a strip club, that's entertainment.
So, but one of the keys to this whole thing is whether you have income to deduct these expenses against.
Is that a dig at the pod?
No, it's just it's I have no idea what you guys earn. You're always whining about people not using Amazon, even though I try to use Amazon as much as possible.
Does that count as income, the Amazon?
Yeah. as far as Kaplan knows, we don't make enough. But between you and I, we're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm kept in the dark.
Okay, so wait, but even in Trump's America, Trump has taken away the ability to go to a football game.
Or a golf course? I can't believe he would do that.
A golf course and deduct it against Uncle Sam?
Yes. Yes, he has. And the people that are really upset about this are the people that are on, say, 10-year contracts with the Kings to purchase their luxury suites.
Oh, yeah.
Those are non-deductible.
Wow.
So unless we get future guidance that reverses the Trump tax bill.
Wow.
We could get guidance.
Those are the real losers in Trump's America. Guidance.
I was going to say, is this
Kings season ticket holders?
I thought you were going to say the people who. So is that supporting, not to get too political, but is that supporting Trump's base, like the people in, what are they called, the white working class? Who's upset that rich people are getting to go to Kings games,
living it up?
I can't believe that the NBA would put up with this. The NFL and hockey, I mean, they do whatever they have to. But you think that they would push back?
Well, I don't follow the politics all that much because, I didn't vote for Trump and I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton, but I did vote.
Who did you vote
for?
Do you want to announce who you're voting for?
I voted for my grandson, Ben.
Oh, Ben Sparks, future president.
I wrote his name in, and then I took a picture of it, which was legal because my ballot was absentee, so I could take a picture of my ballot. If I went to the ballot box, I couldn't take a picture.
One step ahead
but
of
I took
Johnny
a picture
Long.
Of the ballot, and I emailed it to Ben. And by the way, I think he's eight, so I'm pretty sure he would have done a better job. But I sent it to him and told him that now I was the first one that ever voted for him for president. So when he really runs for president, I've already voted for him once.
There you go.
That'd be a good little speech he could tell at the
so, Dad,
convention.
I have a question.
But I digress from the tax advice.
Yeah, well, that's good. So okay, so I have a question follow-up. This will be the last question. And this you might have just answered it, but I'm getting recruited pretty hard right now, I will say, to join the Friars Club in New York City, the legendary, the private club for comedians and entertainers. Kaplan's boss, Robert De Niro, is a member of the club.
He's on the board. He might keep you out.
Yeah, De Niro's on the board. I saw that the current president of the club is Larry King.
He's like runs the – I've been to events there. He like is the MC. And
yeah, so Larry King's got to pass me. But they're recruiting me to join. They want Yay and I in. But we have to pay. You have to pay to join. Now, we're trying to talk him down. We're trying to get as good of a rate as we can.
Can we get Larry King on the pod as part of the fee? No.
Is this something I can deduct from my taxes?
That's a club, right?
Well, I have a question. Do you have to pay to be a member?
Yes.
And then do you also have to pay annual or monthly dues?
There's no dues.
Or is it just
it's a flat
no dues?
It's a flat rate.
So the question is, can you deduct the cost of the membership?
Yes.
One more question, just to clarify. If you get out, can you sell the membership?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Well,
non-transferable, I believe.
I think the answer is clear. you cannot deduct the cost of the membership.
Really? What? It's not a professional club or something?
Come on.
I would.
We got to find a new account.
We got to find a new account. You're not cooking the right books here.
You're not giving us the answers we want.
And you might think you're the first person that's ever told me that.
Tyler Sparks told you too?
Well, no. People just look for somebody that's going to give them the answer they want.
Yeah.
And then they say, you're the guy. You're my man.
That's why I use the TurboTax. I just use it.
So if you were to join Trump's golf course, golf club down in Florida, you could not deduct the cost of the membership.
Wow.
And
sure,
in fact, you couldn't even deduct the monthly dues.
Wow.
So it's now all non-deductible.
So why'd you ask about the dues?
That doesn't
work either.
What if?
All right, thanks, Dad.
You are quite welcome. I'm happy to help.
You really depressed us both here, but yeah,
we are going to be shopping for a new accountant now.
I think we should come to him for foot doctor ideas, and we'll call my dad for tax ideas.
That's a good idea. Wait, before we go, what's your ints, Dad? Because I know you're on ints. How do people find you on ints?
I don't have a clue. I only sent. Did you get the – you got the ints that I sent you then, right?
Yeah, I think you're at Gary Sparks, S-P-A-R-K-S.
At Gary Sparks.
People. Okay.
Ints him questions.
Ints him. He'll love it. Ask him tax questions for free. All day, every day. Cooking the books with Gary Sparks. Thank you very much, Dad. We will talk to you soon.
Okay. You guys have a good day.
All right, well, that's Gary. Thank you, Dad, for being on the podcast. Kaplan, did we learn anything?
I learned that I'm fucked,
I think. It's depressing. That's what we learned.
I'm going to owe a lot of money, or I'm going to have to steal money from the government, either one.
Or we need more people to give us money on Amazon.
Or we need to get a shadier accountant.
Or we need
a little too moral for too little ethical.
For your liking?
For my liking. We're going to find a shady accountant for next time we do that.
Or we need more sponsors. Speaking of sponsors, Ints is an app.
Yeah. And Ints is an app, and you know what? We have a new sponsor. I think we can announce this.
Who?
Venmo.
We have Venmo?
Venmo is partnering with Ints to celebrate the launch of the Venmo debit card.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Cha-ching, cha-ching, and they've come to us.
Wow!
I heard, how are we going to get the word out there?
About Venmo?
About Venmo's debit card. What's the best way?
I don't even know what you're talking about. You have
Lost
the copy.
In America podcast. No, you know, Venmo is, everyone knows what Venmo is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we know Venmo.
So now they're releasing a debit card, which is where you can, like, when you have a Venmo balance.
Yes.
Do you use Venmo?
Yeah, so Venmo, for those outside of America, it's like PayPal.
Yeah, it's like PayPal.
But for millennials.
It's for millennials. People who can't carry cash around.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into why you would need a debit card for Venmo. It sounds like a great idea.
All right, so you need a I agree. You need a Venmo. So you need a debit card.
What happens is people Venmo you, and then I always take the money and immediately transfer it to my bank. But it takes 3 days if you do that.
No one
Venmo's
likes that.
Come up with an idea where you could keep a Venmo debit card, and you can immediately have access to that money.
Really?
So if you want the card before anyone else, ooh, and you want to go to an exclusive party that we will be at.
Whoa!
You know what you need to do? A rooftop party. I have to add a rooftop party.
Even better.
With free drinks and free cupcakes. I won't say who they're from yet. But
in New York City?
In New York City. You know what you need to do?
What?
You need to go on Ents.
Wait, when's the party?
July 31st.
I'm available.
Of 2018. So go on Ents, E-N-S-E. Download that app.
Ents.nyc is their website.
And then you want to Ents a story about Venmo, an experience you've had with Venmo.
Great.
So just make something up if you don't have any experience. But hopefully you have something funny.
And then what happens?
If you've ever bought a jersey from somebody off the street or whatever.
And then you get invited to party with me, you, and Ikram?
Right. So you hashtag your Ents, hashtag Venmo card. That's V-E-N-M-O card. And yeah, bam, they'll put you on the guest list. And you will see us there. You'll see Ikram. It'll be like a...
Producer Randy Lee?
You'll see producer Celeste.
We have a new producer?
We have a new producer. She's been...
Randy Lee's
promoted.
Out.
Randy's still in, but he's doing consultant duties.
He's
still
moved
with the
up.
Team. Yeah, like when they like fire the head coach, but he's still with the program. He's consulting.
He's like a GM.
He's got a big contract.
Got
to
it.
To Randy
okay,
Lee.
Okay, but Randy Lee will be at the party.
He'll be at the party. Yes.
All your favorites. Blue shirt, maybe.
Weber, maybe. Jan Kaplan, maybe.
Oh,
Gary Sparks is on Ents. Maybe he'll come in.
That would be fantastic. July 31st, guys. We're going to be partying on a rooftop in New York City with Venmo, with Ents.
Yeah, and we'll be Entsing from the party.
We will be Entsing from the party. Roy Wood Jr. from The Daily Show will be there, I've heard.
So, yeah, get on Ents and Venmo a story.
All right, should we bring our guest in?
Bring him in.
Peter Wong, come on in.
Peter Wong.
back with our guest, Peter Wong. Peter, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah. So, okay, I met you a few weeks ago and at the Misfit Hive Comedy Club.
Yes.
That's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, I think you told me pretty quickly. So this is our 4th of July episode.
Oh,
very
cool.
Exciting.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America. And who better to have on? Someone we want to learn all about your DACA dreamer, right?
We better have on than someone not American.
Yes. It's amazing. So we were just trying to, in the intro, we were trying to explain to our listeners what a DACA dreamer is. And we realized within like 7 seconds, we have no idea.
Okay.
We just know the term. And then we know that, like, it happened. It got Obama at some point.
Yes.
And Obama, then Trump. And then that's all we know.
Yes.
We got the bullet points, the high-end bullet points we understand.
Yes. Okay. Do you want me to break it down for
break
you,
it down.
Basically?
Our audience
100%.
Our audience is especially dumb.
And go I'm do it. Yeah, talk. We have the dumbest dumb. On purpose.
Surveys have shown this. We've done some surveys of our audience.
Wow.
It's incredible. They don't even know how to take a survey. They don't know how to press the button on the survey. But.
Real bunch of losers. Yeah, so. Listen to this show.
So we know, but talk to them.
Yeah, exactly. For the listener.
For the listeners.
What? So what? Let's go with your story, and you can tell us how it works into your story.
Okay, so I came into the country when I was one. My parents took me in with a vacation visa, and with those, you're supposed to go back to your country within a certain amount of time.
Where are you from?
What country, yeah.
I'm from Hong Kong. Yeah. Well, I was born in a hospital in Hong Kong. My family lives in Wenzhou, a little
shout region. Out.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners in Wenzhou.
Is this true?
Maybe. We don't know.
I'm like, there's no way that's true.
Probably.
As you're saying it.
I mean, there's a lot of people there, right? No.
They have WeChat in Wenzhou. Oh, we're, okay.
We're on WeChat.
There's WeChat everywhere.
We're big wherever there's WeChat.
Yeah. That's our calling.
You are huge then.
So your parents are from Wenzhou. They immigrated to Hong Kong at some point? Or immigrate? Technically, the word, whatever.
That's a controversial sentence.
Just yeah,
I was born in a hospital in Hong Kong, but I think we lived in a village in Wenzhou at the time. Eventually, they made the decision to fly over to America and stay the visa. And since I was already born, I was one at the time, then I was technically a Hong Kong citizen, also on a vacation visa that overstayed that visa when they decided to live.
How long does a vacation visa last for?
I want to say like 60 days,
okay.
Give or take.
Okay, so just to back up a little bit, your parents were living in Wenzhou, and flew to Hong Kong to have you? And so then therefore, because I know people who've done that, Chinese people who've done that during the one-child policy, which is now gone, or almost gone, but if you go to Hong Kong, that's not technically a Chinese kid, and so you can have more than one kid.
Oh,
and so
I don't
like
think
a
that's
rule.
Why.
Okay.
But as we're talking siblings? About this, I realize how little I know about
okay.
how I was born. Yeesh. But it wasn't because of the one child thing, for sure.
Okay.
I don't have all the details on why I was born in Hong Kong.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. Two brothers are born here.
Ooh, okay, so you're the oldest.
The one child policy doesn't apply once they get to America, I think.
That's true.
You can't enforce that.
It doesn't follow you wherever you go around the world.
Yeah. Okay.
just checking.
And so, okay, so then you're born in Hong Kong, and then when you're one, they fly to America. Did they have the intent to stay, or were they like, it's just it was just one of those vacations where you just stay in Mexico?
I was just in Boston, and I stayed an extra day. Because I was like, I don't feel like going home today. I'm just going
to
stay over.
I know so many people who've come to China. They're like, I'm going to stay for 2 weeks. And then they just like party their ass off. And they're like, this place is great. I'm never leaving.
So I can see it can happen.
Yeah. Not because of party reasons that my parents
the traffic. They don't want to. The flight back's a pain in the ass. I can see.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. 16 hours? What?
Put up another day. Put up another day.
That was their intention, was to find a new life. And I was part of that. And then basically, you overstay, you become... an illegal immigrant. For me, so like Obama came into, was elected when he was elected, and part of his attack on like the immigration issue was there were the people who came in before they could decide where they go, people like me. Like I couldn't decide I wanted to go to America and overstay it.
Because you're a little kid.
Because I was a little kid. He's kind of like sympathizing with that specific circumstance. So he brought out the Dreamer Act and DACA was part of that, which is deferred action for the childhood of America. And that if you came while before you were 16 years old, and you were studying in school during that time, then you are now eligible to work in the United States, and also you can't be deported while you are under DACA.
Okay. Back, I want to go back a little bit. So you come when you're one, your parents, and how was, long was the visa? Maybe like 6 months or something? Or no, it's a tourist
days,
visa.
60 days.
60-day tourist visa.
Yeah.
So the
don't
minute,
quote me on that.
Yeah, okay. Well, something like
give
that.
Give or take.
Our audience is not going to look it up.
Okay.
And so then once you're over that, then you're illegal.
But then yes. You might as well, it's like, you're over, you might as well stay forever because you've already broken the Yeah, you've already missed the deadline.
Yeah, there's no
bonus.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Now there is there's a grace period as well.
Okay.
There's a comedian actually whose story is he stayed in the grace period and got married during the grace period, I think.
This guy's really taking
your
act.
We should have him on next week.
we got to get rid of him. Yeah, if you want to go anywhere in your career. So, okay, so then you stay. And then how do you, you're in New York? What year is this roughly when your parents came?
1991.
Oh, okay. 91. And with no intent, at that point, there is no DACA. There's no idea there might be DACA. Who's in, you got Ray, is it Ray? No, Bush won.
Yeah, well, there wasn't an issue.
Clinton,
until,
I think.
Clinton 92.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, this was just an issue that was adding over time.
But what I'm saying is that's like a ballsy move. To move to another country and be like, we're gonna stay and we'll just figure it out when we get. We'll take a Polaroid and see what
they
develops.
Doing for work, were they?
At the time, they found there was a. They knew some either friends or family who were working in sweatshops in Ooh. Queens.
Wow.
There were literally like little sweatshops, like factories, where you just kept pushing fabric through like sewing machines all day long, and the first week, this is crazy. They would work. So they worked 12 hours a day, and the first week they would get paid $10 for the week.
For the week?
For the week, yeah. And then if you stayed long enough, the next week you get 20, and it kept double. Going until you made $80 a week.
So for 8 weeks, you're up to
in 1992, yeah. America?
Yeah. And then it stayed at 80.
And it's that I think like it capped at 80.
That was your...
Who? And that's all because they're taking advantage of them because they know they're illegal, and they're like, I can report you, get you out
but
of here.
But it's $80 cash, so you're not paying tax on that.
Look at that.
Coming out way ahead.
Wait, so who would run? Who's the asshole who ran this factory?
I might know him. I live
Chinese
in
people?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
Chinese
really?
People who ran the factories. And
yeah,
they were
taking care of their own. Yeah.
I think
so, like Flushing or like in. Or
this was back then. This was near Corona. It was like around Woodside in Queens.
Oh, that's where the comedy club is. Woodside, right? The Misfit Hive.
Yes.
They might have been
maybe it was Craig Fox's dad who ran the sweatshop. So, oh, wow. And then how do you get into it? You can go to school or like for
yes,
you?
Yes, you can go to school without documentation. As far as I've known, as long as I've known, public schooling, you do not need documentation. And you can go into all the way to college without documentation.
You just sign up.
Yeah. I mean, they just want
college. College just doesn't care, but
like
I would
if you
assume
live somewhere, you can go to the school. Like, you have proof that you live somewhere, but you don't have to have proof that you're a citizen.
Okay. To go to school, but right? What about to, like, rent an apartment? I don't know. I just rented an apartment. I had to have, like, every, like, number,
well,
every.
You were shady looking, and you were trying to yes. live in wherever you live in.
Oh, my God. There's so many avenues without needing to go through the actual paperwork as far as renting.
Is it all through community Chinese people? You know what?
It was at the time, I don't know how deep I want to go into detail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there was a way to rent, which that part's simple. It's just pay cash to someone who's willing to take cash.
Okay.
That's about it. Then later on, we moved eventually, and they were able to mortgage a place. And then the specifics of that, I actually really don't know, but I'm certain it's something I probably shouldn't say.
So how long, like, what was your parents, how long did they work for this weird asshole sweatshop guy? And then, like, how do they move on?
They worked there for probably like until I was 7 or 8. And then I guess they saw that there's no way this is like the end game. And so they started, they opened up. In between my dad would, like, I think they were no longer needed, my parents. And then my parents were, like, strapped for cash and looking for something. And my dad started selling, like, AA batteries in, like, the train. And I think like fake watches and stuff, you know, and that obviously not making a lot of money off of that. And so went to a flea market and saw that you could open up like your own booth and just sell stuff at the flea market. So started off with purchasing these, you know, those foam floor puzzle pieces that you can step on. You ever see those? They're
yeah.
like in daycares.
Yeah.
We started, he started selling those. And that went pretty well, and then saw that there was more in the market of selling handbags, like fake handbags, you know, Gucci and stuff like that. And so they started doing that.
And did they ever talk about going back to Hong Kong? Like in the first few years when they're working at the sweatshop and they're like, life could be better in Hong Kong?
I was pretty ignorant. You know I mean? They left me to my own devices.
No, I mean your parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, you don't know?
So I have no idea.
Oh,
I was
I
always
I
like
see.
In my video games or in my toys. They kept me pretty like sheltered from the stuff they were going through.
Yeah.
I don't think, though, I don't think their intention was ever to go back, at least not until they've finished the empire or fortune they wanted to make here.
That was the plan?
Yeah, the life has to be here was a plan.
Sweatshops, foam things, handbags, you can...
And then
it's the American dream.
The next step, keep going.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
So what, now their son's a comedian.
Yeah, I know.
The whole time you're slaving away, they're working, they're like, my son's going to...
One day.
To be no. playing at the Misfit Lounge.
Craig yeah. Fox, also not paying.
He's going to be on a podcast one day. It's not paying.
That's another part of the, like an extra hurdle for like the immigrant child, right? Your parents slaved away through the things and they
sure.
wanted you to excel in school and have the better life, be a doctor or whatever. And then you're like, that's all great. I'm going to go do this ridiculous thing.
Yeah. So then, okay. So then you go to school and you go to middle school and high school and no one ever checks or no one wants to
yeah.
know.
I didn't find out I was illegal until I was 15.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. I try to apply for a job at Dunkin' Donuts and they're like...
Tough security. Tougher security than anywhere else.
You know Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
They crack down on all those illegals. But they're like, okay, bring your work permit and you'll get the job.
Right.
And then I went home and I asked my mom for the work permit and she's like, oh...
About that,
yeah.
It's probably also because of your age. Because if you're even a little older, you might could even. They probably wouldn't even ask for a work permit, right?
Right, like but if you get
15,
older,
you
know, I don't know.
That's like a good question.
They probably want to make sure because your age or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah. My mom couldn't produce it,
right?
And then I was pretty like what the hell? And
oh, we're gonna have this talk.
How did she
day.
Tell you?
She just told me slowly at that point that we came in and I don't have that. And I already knew what that was because in high school, I mean, I was pretty Americanized. So I was, there was this kid named Alejandro in my school and he was Mexican. And everyone would all make illegal Mexican immigrant jokes to him. And I joined in.
plausible deniability.
You got to shift the spotlight.
Well,
Before you knew?
He was an American citizen.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But it's just his name was Alejandro. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're
Shout
like,
out.
You smuggler, whatever. And so I already knew what that was. And then my mom told me that I was that thing all along. And that was, so those levels of embarrassment and then devastation.
Wow. And then when did DACA come? So that's when you were 15.
Yeah.
And then when did Obama come along and say it's all good?
2008. Was Obama and
you're like 16 or no, maybe a little older,
right? And then even then, the DACA doesn't come in until I am probably 20 or 21, maybe even a little later than that, like 22 or 23.
Yeah, but it wasn't, you said it's, you're all good, it was just sort of like a temporary.
What was well, yeah, was, you can tell us more about it. So, what was it?
DACA.
Yes,
you apply for it. Qualifications under 16 and you were studying in school, then you can apply for it. If approved, you have to renew every 2 years. It expires every 2 years. And if approved, you can work in the United States. It's as if it's a social security number. And you get to, you can't be deported if you were to be deported. You also have to be pretty well behaved, I think. You can't like start committing like felonies or anything like that, or else then you will. You
Is
might
that
lose
what keeps
DACA.
You from going on a crime spree
on a yeah on a
so is it like a green card?
it's not like you can't leave the country with it, or it's not valid for reentry to U.S. That says it on there.
Wait, you cannot, if you're a DACA member, you cannot leave America and come back?
That is correct. Wait, you can leave America, but you can't come back.
That's always been, like, I knew someone in high school who was like an au pair who did the same. They just like, she's like, just extend her visa and just like, I'm not coming back. Like, I'm just going to stay here forever.
Yes.
Until I, she's like, when I leave America, then I'll never come back to America because they'll never let me back in, but I'm just going to stay here for.
Wow.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I'm looking at this. It says right on it, not valid for reentry to the United States.
Yeah.
Do you use this at bars when you like the card you? Or?
Oh, no, I have a driver's license.
I feel like it's
a
good.
Badass way to like.
It's also a good pickup line.
Yeah, that's better.
You know, I'm not supposed to be here.
Bar,
yeah. So,
yeah. Yeah, this is like rebel.
Yeah.
Especially if you meet some like Republican.
I'm going to try that.
The ultimate bad boy.
Yeah, you're real bad boy. Exactly. Yeah.
It's the ultimate illegal crime committer, I guess.
Today, birthday on it and everything.
Wow.
It'd be cool if kids then start getting fake doc cards for their 21 kids. Like, look, the hologram's real. That's from another state, though.
Does that work as a valid identification for, like, bars and stuff?
I have never tried it. I have a driver's license.
Real.
It's real. It must, valid, right?
But it should. It should be
I fine. Did go somewhere where they wouldn't. Everyone saw, like, they won't accept passports. Have you ever had that? They're like, we don't accept passports.
Well, just
because
they've,
bar.
Like, never seen one before.
Because they don't know how to read them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah,
might
yeah,
work
yeah.
the same with the DACA thing. Yeah. So then, okay. So then you're in.
I know, I feel like in New York, they give you a free drink if you had a DACA card.
I know that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'll try that then, right?
I think a lot of girls would be into it.
Yeah, yeah.
The first. The first place that I got like a check, like the first legal check, was I did like a Shakespeare play, and they gave like a $200 stipend for it, and then that guy took down the info, and I think I passed it to him, and this is a new card. It was like DACA just came out, and I don't think he knew exactly what it was, but I think he also didn't want to look like he didn't know. So
yeah.
He's like, yeah, all right, and then just like, put everything down.
So
it's been nothing, no problem.
When it came out, when it came out, was it what year was that? Do you know? Or what year did you apply?
I think once it came out, I applied, and that's around 2011.
I feel like that's one of those things that if it would have come out, I would have been like, I'll do it next week. I'll do it and then just never do
well,
it.
Before Trump, I feel like nobody was paying attention. Like it came out. It was an issue. Because immigration was an issue for years. They couldn't get a bill. And the DACA thing became.
For yeah. Guys like me, it was we were on it.
I'm talking about
to
regular. To like people. Like,
Kaplan and I were.
Like, had no idea the term DACA probably.
We were talking about how we didn't really hear much about it until like the past year.
Right.
Yeah.
When Trump's like, we're getting rid of those people. And we're like, wait, what? Who?
Yeah, like, yeah. I never thought about that as an issue.
But for
yeah,
you.
I don't mention,
this is like the biggest. Was this the biggest moment in. It changed everything, right?
Yes. So.
What did you think you were. What was in your head before that? You're like, I could get kicked out at any moment? Or what?
It was scary. I think so. At the time, I started pursuing comedy at 17, and part of trying comedy was like if I'm really good at it, most clubs just pay in cash. They don't really worry about the whole like legalese stuff. But I quit after a year because it was so hard comedy, and then I just went back to school. I was like, I'm gonna try to do computer science, and maybe this whole like immigration stuff will work out by then. And then I went back, and like after one more semester of like computer science, I'm like, oh, I'm never doing like a regular 9-to-5 job as my life. So I went into like acting and stuff, and then with acting, I was like that too. I guess it's like kind of you know in the middle of like cash and. You know, actual payments. And then DACA came out, and then I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can just pursue what I want to get paid for it. And then so I got back into comedy. And
so it's like always been in your head.
Comedy?
No, like this, the.
Well, since you found out about
the
it.
Idea, yes, yeah. The idea that you're planning in the sense that I might, like, you're strategically planning because you're not. You were not a legal citizen. Or
yes, to an extent. It does, like, yeah. For the most part, I don't think about it. Because it doesn't really affect my life.
I guess you just can't travel.
Yes.
You can't leave the country ever.
That would be the biggest thing.
Right.
And most people don't do that anyway.
You have an excuse. Most people have an excuse.
Yes.
Like, you're like, people are like, why are you going to Florida? It's so lame. You're like, I have a real reason. This is where I'm going.
Well, my cousin had his bachelor party in Canada, and I couldn't go to it. I was actually relieved.
Well, how is he? What's his deal?
He came all legal. Everything was good for him. Some people in China do get the legit green card.
Show
to,
off.
To come yeah.
Do you still have family back in China, or is everyone
very few?
Yeah.
People that I don't You know, I came when I was one, so...
Right. That's why the whole issue is so, like, if they, like, deported you to...
it's like, where do you go? You're not even from there, really. Yeah. I mean, you're from there, but
you're actually making it worse, because now I'm knowing you, and you have connections in China, so
right.
Maybe...
he would do better in China. He could be deported.
Yeah, call me if it happens. I can help
IDs
you out.
And they'll send you off.
No, I was thinking about this. I met... So I met you last week.
Oh, yeah.
And your partner...
Oh, Gus Tate.
Gus Tate, the week before. And I'm literally asking Gus about how China is and how the scene is and how the society
is. And for our listeners, Gus is the only person whiter than Turner.
He really is the only guy whiter than me. I will here's what I will tell you, but here's what was confusing for me coming, like, so when you're in Shanghai, or especially Hong Kong, but also Shanghai's great and Suzhou where I was living was great. A lot of these cities are like really nice places now, mm-hmm. and nice places to live, and everything's clean and kind of taken care of and functioning great and everything, you know, probably not the way it was 25 years ago. And then you come to certain parts of New York, like Queens, there's parts of Queens where I'm like, Shanghai's way better than this.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like if I was moving, I would move here and be like, oh, I'm just going to go back. I think, I don't know. Like currently.
Yeah.
But not, I'm sure that's adjusted a lot. I moved to China in 2004 and even there was a massive difference in that 12 years I was there. Like the society boomed and changed and all that.
Right. We have lots of Dunkin' Donuts.
Exponential, the way China.
And they have Dunkin' Donuts even in my neighborhood.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right, you can go get a job.
See, I look at Queens and Queens is my heart. I love Queens so much.
Yeah, no offense. I didn't mean to.
I live in fake Queens, so it's fine. I live in Long
Island. My heart is a Suzhou Industrial Park. So
like, that's
you
such
still live in Queens?
I still, yeah. Queens, I love all. It's the attitude of it and the diversity and.
So here's what you might have heard this before, but what it reminds me of, and Sunset Park as well, it reminds me more of China when I first got there, than
Queens.
China now.
Really?
If you were to pick one, in the sense that like, the design. I'm not saying like the people. I just mean the design of like the buildings and everything,
huh.
And like the malls. You know those malls with the food courts and.
Are you talking about Flushing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm talking specifically about Flushing.
Okay, yeah, that's a big difference. Okay, so Flushing is a lot like China back in the day than it is...
China like 20 years ago as opposed to China now, but that makes sense because I would think that a lot of people maybe came a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know 100%. You would know better than I do.
Yeah, well, out of Queens, my least favorite part is Flushing.
Okay.
So I would hate to be there.
Oh, that's what I mean. When I say Queens, I meant specifically Flushing.
Right.
Yeah, but you know when you walk into those, like, the food court mall things?
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, dude, it feels like Suzhou 20 years ago, or it feels like if you go middle of China, like inland to like the less developed cities, I guess, you know?
Well, yeah. I do like the food courts. That's all I can.
The food's good.
The food's amazing.
I'm saying, but it's the design. You walk in and you're like, wow, this is crazy. I'm in like, I don't know where, Wuhan or something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Is it really a good design for a food court, though? I mean.
I don't know. Don't some of them have like carousels and stuff in the middle of them? Mall of America.
Malls, yeah.
Okay. So then that lasts a few years, and then Trump comes in, and then now where are we at with everything? It's like unknown, right?
Yeah. I was never into politics, you know. And then Trump stuff was happening, and all I knew was what he was saying was, "I want to do this to the immigrants, to DACA." And so immediately I'm like, oh, I of course I don't want that guy.
Well, what did he want to do to DACA?
He wanted to get rid of DACA.
Well, he was like, you can go out and then come back in. So that was his whole stupid idea. He's like, everyone can leave and then we'll come back in. We'll do a system.
Okay.
That's what he said?
He said that at some point when he was like babbling about it. Like, he's like, the good people will let them back in.
But he says a different thing like every day.
Right, but it's like there's millions of people and you can't just like.
Yes. But the thing is, like, when you're as like uninformed as I am, right, with politics, then you, when something is said at face value, you're always like worried there's something beneath the waters that you're just not informed about.
Sure.
And I think with specifically with DACA, I think he wanted to get rid of it because what Obama did was he put a Band-Aid solution on the issue. It doesn't fix the fact that these are immigrants here. DACA doesn't make us a permanent. Resident or citizen or anything, we can't leave the country because we can't come back in. So it's almost like, oh, now we're in this purgatory. So I think what Trump wanted to do was, at the very least, make a defined way, you know, one side of the fence or the other. And of course, I like where I am now than if the possibility is, hey, everyone who has DACA, get the hell out of here. then, you know, that's that. On the flip side of the coin, if he, so he came in and he repealed DACA. So got rid of that. And basically it was officially gone if Congress didn't come up with a solution to replace it. Congress has yet to come up with a solution to replace it. So when he said he repealed it, there was a mad rush for like everyone who had DACA to reapply, because all that meant we had a time limit.
2 years. Or,
yep. Yeah. Get that last 2 years in. And it's been so long that people who weren't eligible to apply like 1 year in, now they're eligible to apply and get another 2 years. So now I was kind of good, and now I'm like getting close to it expiring. Once it hits that renewal period again, I have to apply just to be safe.
Yeah.
You know.
And how long does the application take from you send in to get back?
Application's pretty quick. It's like 15 to 30 days.
Oh, okay. And so basically everyone's just living off the fact that they haven't made a decision yet, so it's not totally gone.
Yes.
But the thing is, in the beginning, you volunteered your information. Like, they didn't even...
Yeah, it's really like, everybody come bullshit. Sign up, you'll be safe. And right. They're like, ha-ha, we gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Now we have your information.
Granted, I think the trade-off is the past 7 years that I've benefited off DACA. Right, right. Like, you know... I don't believe that the goal was to take all the immigrants' information and then catch them.
Yeah. Well, no one could have predicted.
It's a problem with two parties. This is why we need one party. You have a straight ahead position, but it is true that if you have two different parties that are pretty opposite of each other,
if you have like an insane person on the horizon that you
then it's like one Obama can't make promises for what's going to happen next after he's gone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah. So now would be probably the tensest time, as we're trying to figure out like what's going to happen, and Congress still hasn't come up with the solution. And
well, if I know anything about Congress, I know they're hard at work on it.
Especially this 4th of July week.
Do not worry. Go to
and
sleep.
Cool. And what about your parents? What are they? What's their? Should we not talk about that?
Yeah, I don't know. They're living. They're working. They're still. Although I think my brother is speaking. We have a lot of immigration lawyers that we're talking to, and they're currently in some sort of process to such that they might get their green cards before I do. They might be like just fine before I am. So and if that's the case, I'm okay with that. I would really like to not go to China. If I do get sent to China, I'll probably like.
It's not that bad.
China,
but I mean, for you, you've never. It's not your home.
Yeah, you go to China, meet an American girl there, marry her.
Bam. Boom! You come back. Straight back. You can be back in 6 months.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Irony on them.
That's actually a billion. That's genius. And there's a lot. I will tell you that. There's especially in Hong Kong. There's people from all over the world there.
Mm-hmm.
But Wenzhou, is that where your family's from?
Wenzhou. Yeah.
Don't go there. There's no. I don't think there's a lot of.
I have to hit the touristy spots, right?
Maybe in Wenzhou. I'm not. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go Shanghai, Beijing. Hong Kong, you'll be good. Shenzhen, okay. Yeah.
Sounds good.
We're giving you advice.
Good. Yeah, let's start.
You can
this.
Set up a program actually for people. I mean, you're an expert.
Well, I can guarantee you'll get back in 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is deportation package. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great offer, Turner.
So what? Okay. So how's comedy going? And acting, I guess you're acting as well.
When I've graduated, I graduated with a BFA at Adelphi for acting.
Wow.
And, yeah, and then auditions were very, very few and far between. So I was like, why don't I give comedy a try again? And I'd say this year has been the best out of the past three, you know, comedy-wise. I got a sketch that got on Tosh.0.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that got me a little bit of like, hey, you know, I'm probably on the right road here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm getting better at comedy and getting up more, and so
yeah, you're funny. I saw you when we were hanging out at the Misfit Hive.
Yeah, thank you.
Didn't Craig Fox go to Adelphi University?
He did. That's how we
takes care of his own, huh?
That is the fast track.
Yeah, if you want to get up on Misfit, you know, go to the same college as Craig. But yeah, I think what you have a picture of in your head as an illegal immigrant, and I'm guilty of this too, was like a Mexican guy that just didn't speak English, and right. He's like, "We're here the whole, you know, like that." I would say, since like DACA has really changed, you know, that perspective. You know, I didn't realize there were that many people like me either. I work at Apple at the Apple Store in Queens Center, and there's a lot of DACA coworkers.
You have a little social club.
How many people are there?
A little bit.
Duck and get.
I'm told there's like 8 in my store.
But I mean, how many in the U.S.?
In the U.S., there's like, I think in the
12 million or something? Or something?
No, 12 million?
That's that counting everybody.
Kevin watched England soccer earlier today. He's had a couple of cocktails.
I've had a couple cocktails.
Well, you throw numbers at me, I get screwed off.
But they're not going to deport.
It's a lot. It's a big number. I've heard the number. It's less than 12 million.
But it's millions.
Lot. No, I don't know. Don't quote me.
It's hundreds.
It's a lot.
Or more.
Well, I don't think Trump even understood, like, he probably, when you say, like, they picture some Mexican guy, that's all he thought of. He's like, oh, there's people from other countries? He probably had no concept, you know? Mm-hmm.
Totally. I remember when the, what's the do you know, like, I don't know if you know, like, Chinese, like, mainland Chinese families a lot of times will come here. There's this thing in L.A. where you can go to L.A. and have your baby in L.A. And then while you're on, like, a tourist vacation, but then the kid becomes a citizen.
A U.S. citizen, yeah.
Yeah. And then they get you back in, and somebody was trying to, like, clamp down on that. And then they're like, oh, we can't, like, this is, we got to let Mexicans in. And they were like, oh, no, well, it's like, it's Chinese people.
Right.
Like, the thought is always, for some reason in America, anything immigration, it's always Mexican.
That's why your brother had it.
That's the first thought.
They had their baby in Costa Rica for that reason, right?
So, yeah, my brother's son is a Costa Rican citizen.
But there's, it's a lot of Chinese people.
Yeah, we have people from all over the world, obviously, right? Yeah.
I think a lot of Irish, too.
Oh, yeah, like that one guy.
Yeah, the one guy.
Well, whatever his name is.
Well, you can run for president then, and you can fix the whole system if you're born in America.
It's true. Can you run for president as DACA?
He wasn't born in America.
Oh, yeah.
I can't vote, so that was tough for DACA people who didn't want Trump elected. It's up to the will of the
didn't even
American
say, but
people.
Your brothers are citizens because they were born here, right?
My brothers are both citizens,
so
yes.
By being born in Hong Kong, though, how does that, your citizen, well, because now Hong Kong's part of China.
You'd be a citizen of Hong Kong.
Right.
Are you? Is that?
I am a citizen of Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's where you would go if you went back?
Yes.
Not Winho. Winho's out.
Winjo?
Winjo. Sorry, them too.
I guess that kind of would be out because Hong Kong and China are different.
This is now we're getting.
You know better than I do.
Yeah.
Isn't that the crazy thing? Yeah.
But Hong Kong's great. Hopefully you don't have to go. All right, should we move on? Should we get to the news?
Yeah, we'll have to follow, pay attention to the news more closely now.
I know, and we might have to do another one when we come up with, when everyone's like, why didn't you ask this? Why didn't you ask this? We'll come up with more questions later on.
Okay.
All right, so let's get to the news.
All right, play the music.
Play the music. We're back with the news. First news story of the week, Kaplan. This comes to us from the New York Post. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah.
Dogs are turning to weed to cope with fireworks, says the New York Post. We brought them out. Oh, this is from a... We bought them out of desperation, really. What? I don't know what that means.
This is the New York Post writing.
Got it. Yeah, the New York Post is the worst.
You sure you didn't, like, copy it wrong?
No, the New York Post has they do all like puns and everything in their writing. And so then when you're trying to read it as like straight, it doesn't read straight. It reads as like a blog post.
Oh, yeesh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And so it's like all trying to be clever and like punny and everything.
Yeah.
So this is a quote actually from a Bushwick resident named Vlad. He won't give his first name. That's the great journalism of the New York Post.
Dog weed is not really, I don't know if that's legal yet.
They don't get last names.
Why would you need the last name?
They don't want to get busted.
So Vlad and his girlfriend ordered chicken-flavored weed treats, which contain a calming, non-psychoactive hemp extract from Bark Shop.
Shout out.
New sponsor, Bark Shop. You can get your dog weed treats there.
Ooh.
And they began feeding them to their dog Stella in preparation for the fireworks. Already they've noticed a huge difference in Stella.
Wait, they didn't wait. Like, I mean, they could have done it just at the fireworks or testing it
out. Yeah, how do they know it's the difference?
Want to get a stone?
The fireworks haven't even started yet.
I mean, this story hits close to home for me. You came to my apartment last year for 4th of July.
I did.
I live in Long Island City. We're right where they do the fireworks.
Yeah.
Like, literally right outside my window. And I got a dog, a little 10-pound dog, Pancakes, shout out. And that's like her, like, it's like she's in Syria or something. During the fireworks is like the worst day for like possible for life.
So should we give
and she should get some pot.
Give pancakes some pot
because it's like it's so sad. You want to enjoy your fireworks. You're trying to be a good American,
and the dog is all barking.
You're trying to be a good American,
and they're mean about it. Like they like literally they're like the dog's hiding and there's like always a break. People don't notice this. Maybe they do it for the commercial. I don't know. There's like a 30-second minute break. She comes out of hiding, and then it's like, boom. It's like the Battle of the Bulge. Like,
get her stoned.
So I got to get her stoned this year.
Well, Vlad in Queens has already noticed, Bushwick has already noticed a huge difference. Instead of cowering in the tub, Stella can be found hanging out around her family, sometimes rolled over on her back, even with her tail wagging.
Okay.
But the other key part of that is because the fireworks haven't started yet.
Right, that's the thing. Have they done it where they've like tested it out with loud noises while she's stoned?
Like, I think they just gave her pot.
Because there's like fireworks going on. Like people have these rogue fireworks going on like a couple days beforehand.
Right.
You could just do loud noises.
It's not just 4th of July.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Do they mention the ethnicity of Vlad in the article?
I'm going to go with Serbian.
Do you think he's a DACA?
Yeah, I know. Where are you going to
give his last name?
It sounds so white. To get weed for your dog.
Oh, Vlad. I would go Eastern European.
Eastern Europeans are whites.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a version of white.
Oh, man. There's this like this love of dogs that I can't get into.
Wait, Chinese people, you don't think you would give...
Right.
Your community would not give
weed
to a dog?
God. Yeah, whatever. We had a dog, and he was depressed, and we gave it away.
What? That's the solution?
I mean,
yeah.
We don't love our animals.
Oh, I see. Why was he depressed?
Because we didn't play with it enough. Husky. It was a husky. Huskies are so intelligent, and you have to be like they're like active with it and all the time.
Needy. These intelligent
Very
dogs.
Needy. Needy.
So instead of playing with it more, you just gave it away?
You can only play with it so much before you're like, oh my God, I have my own life to deal with.
Just give it to a white family?
If you knew he was smart enough, he would have like not been so needy to get given
there
away.
There we go. Yeah.
You could also do dog walk. My wife, does. She walks people's dogs.
Is there a firework walking thing where you can walk the dogs away from the fireworks?
That's a good idea. Because,
last year I got this, like, drug from the vet for the dogs, and it was very stressful because it was, like, a tube, and they were, like, very much, like, it was, like, a shooter.
In the butt.
In their mouth, but it was, like, they had lots of, for some reason, they gave us, like, 10 portions, and they're, like, don't give more than one because they could be hospitalized if you give too much.
Wow.
So I was really stressed out about it. And then they were like, it expires for 2 weeks. So I was like, I want to get my money's worth because it's expensive. Because I'm a white person. I spent $40 on this. Then I'm like rooting for thunderstorms. I'm like, oh, I heard thunder. Give her some drugs. Drug her. Oh, this rogue fireworks. Give her some more. So, you know, that's they're very patriotic, these dogs.
Next news story. This comes to us from the Huffington Post. Developers pull the plug on racist video game that is titled Dirty Chinese Restaurant.
I can't see how that could be racist.
I know.
I can't even imagine.
Bad branding.
The company is called Big O Tree Games, which apparently is a play on the words bigotry. So they're literally just Big O, Big Dash O Dash Tree.
Wait a minute. Is this true?
This is true. It's from the Huffington Post.
I mean,
it's got to be
public
true.
Fake news
it's from the internet. The internet's always true.
Okay.
The game is centered on one character named Wong Fu. The developers said that the players would score points by evading taxes and immigration officials and by saving food costs via dumpster diving or Jesus Christ, chasing after dogs and cats with a cleaver. This is the most, how could this possibly be a racist game? But the best part is you have to read the statement from the company. First of all, they're shocked and they're appalled and they're also like, we would like to make a sincere and formal apology to the Chinese community and wish to assure them that this game was not created with the intentional interest of inflicting harm or malice against Chinese culture.
Good statement.
We ask, and this is my favorite part, we ask the press to please respect our privacy at this time as we begin the task of removing all of our content.
That's amazing. That's amazing that they even had damage control on something like this.
And then I like that they asked to respect their privacy. Like, this is what, like, couples, like, celebrity couples do when they're getting divorced.
Right.
They're like, can you just respect our privacy? But this is, you created a racist video game.
Yeah.
And you're saying, don't at me, basically, right?
And, like, we're so sensitive these days with political correctness. And then they come, this is, like, actually something like, oh, my God.
You know, my alarms are going off just a little bit. Like, I'm smelling some flags with the story, you know? Just, like, calling it Big Old Tree just
seems
weird.
They were doing
weird.
This to get publicity?
You think this is fake?
This sounds fake.
Or what if they were doing this to get some, if they wanted to get their names in the paper?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Although I do. There are races. I used to play Warcraft 3, and they would make custom maps, and that means like you could. That means users made little games inside Warcraft that you could play.
Okay.
And one of them was incredibly racist. It was called Kill the N.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then
was it created by George Lambropoulos, who created this game? George Lambropoulos, the developer of the game, told the Huffington Post last month that the game was mainly satire and comedy, influenced by, this is my least favorite, by classic politically incorrect shows such as South Park, All in the Family, Family Guy, Simpsons, and Chappelle's Show. I don't know how this has anything to do.
Well, it's comedy.
It's not comedy, but to your point, you're saying that the political, I think, I said this before in the podcast, but I used to be one of these like anti-political correct, like in the pre-Trump era.
Well, I mean, I still am normally, but this is like,
but this
too
is
far.
This is culturally appropriating my ability to be against politically incorrectness, because this is just racism, and then it's calling itself, oh, we're anti-politically incorrect. Right. There is a middle ground. You can be against politically incorrect but not be racist. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, a little light racism is allowed, I think, in video games. Yeah. In video games, it's all in good fun, but it's got to be funny.
These people have taken it way too far.
Are they going to do like a... Yeah, I don't know. What's the next game?
The sequel?
Any other racist ideas? Or?
Well, let's start spitballing racist titles. Is that what we should do?
Yeah, just spitballing. I mean, I don't know. Trump's gonna...
Last news story of the week.
Moving on.
I'm going to let you go first with that. When I say spitball racist ideas, you go first. I'll go second. See where you go.
Dirty Chinese restaurant was not popular in Queens. Is that what you're telling us? You apparently have not heard of this. Last news story of the week. Tourists. Oh, this is local news, Kaplan.
Okay. How local?
Well, I think you were at the scene of this, considering you sent me the news story.
Right.
Oh. Tourists on duck boat tour in Boston spot body floating in a river.
Yes. So, yeah, I was in Boston. I mentioned earlier in the podcast. And have you ever done a duck tour in any of these cities?
Was this a live body? Because this shouldn't be news if it was.
It was a dead body, yes.
Oh, okay. It doesn't. Okay, go ahead.
No, it wasn't someone swimming. It wasn't like a guy who was. So, if you've ever done a duck tour, it's like I did it in Montreal. Which is like where you're in like it's like a bus that looks like a duck almost, and then you get into the water. And I promised my son, I'm like, it's like a transformer. It turns into a boat.
It's a bus that turns into a boat.
Right, and he got very disappointed because it just like wasn't like he expected it to turn into like a giant like transformer.
Oh.
Like,
I would imagine it turned into a like some kind of a duck thing.
Yeah, but it just sort of floats. It's just a bus. They move the wheels up and it floats. It's pretty
nice.
Lame.
Okay,
and it's a big ripoff. But we were gonna do it because the kids wanted to do it, and we're waiting in line. And all of a sudden, this buzz starts circulating. And everyone's like on their phones. You're like, what's going on? And it's like. There was a body found in the river. And then it's like...
You could see it out the window?
Not because we were in the line. And it was like the boats were like... The boat before us basically saw it.
Wow.
We were like there. So then I was like about... I was like, I don't know if we should do this, kids. Like, how do you handle this with kids? What do you do if you see a body?
I would say you skip the tour. Ask for your money back.
Well, you tell them that's a person that died. And then
you tell them. Yes,
I think so. But speaking as a non-father.
Non-father.
Yeah. But I'm skeptical. I think this story's fake, too.
You think this is
fake?
Wow. This is real news. This is from,
Wait, you were there, though, right?
I was there, yeah.
Yeah. People were. That's why I said it.
I did actually see the body, though. So
what did you tell your kids?
I just told them the tour was sold out. I said, kids, tour sold out.
Oh,
let's go to the aquarium.
They canceled the tour because of the dead body.
They didn't. They didn't cancel.
No,
tour,
the show must go on. This is Boston.
I didn't go on the water and see the bodies coming out. Because, you know, we live on the water in Long Island City, and sometimes you'll see a lot of hubbub.
You live on the East River.
We live on the East River. And there was
that's the home of dead bodies.
There was a time when Randy, my wife, saw like some cops and stuff outside, and she's like, oh, what's going on? Takes the binoculars out, and they were fishing a body out.
Wow.
So, like, we've never, they don't tell you this in parenting class. There's no, like, what to do when you see a dead body.
I mean,
how do you explain that?
Death is a part of life.
Yeah.
That's your advice?
You missed out on two parenting experiences.
Exactly.
That would have explained a lot.
All right.
Do your kids know that they're going to die yet?
Yeah, they talk about it all the time, actually.
Oh.
Ruby's always like, I'm going to die at 8. Teddy thinks, my son thinks
she's
dying at 100.
She's calling her
shirt. He thinks everyone dies at 100.
Oh,
so
okay.
He's like, I'm going to die. And he's good with math. So he's 2 years older. So he'll say, Ruby, you're going to be 98 years old when I die.
That's pretty good.
So he's pretty, you know, he's, but so.
Right, no, she's going to die at 8,
she thinks.
Why?
She thinks death's hilarious. I don't know.
They take it really. When I heard it at 8 years old, I was devastated.
Was
devastated when I heard that.
Yeah,
I'm still not 100% sure I'm going to die.
No?
No. Don't they say, because technology's getting better every year.
It is, yeah.
And they say that the first 150-year-old person has already been born.
Right.
Have you heard that?
I haven't heard that.
The first person to live, I think it's like Gladwell.
I mean,
one
in the Bible,
idiots.
People lived for hundreds of years. So,
do you
like,
want to live to 150?
If I can stay in this godly body.
You will not be in that
godly body. I don't want to get old.
You'll be decrepit.
I don't.
How many DACA things you have to do to get to 150? That's like every 2 years. Oh my god! You think I'll solve the problem by then?
By that
live
point,
to see a solution. Live to see a
no,
solution.
No, no, no.
Congress will still.
You have the best case scenario because you by that time America could be down the tubes. Hong Kong, China could be through the roof. Then you just go back willingly.
We'll be on like.
You know what I'm saying?
Barron Trump will be president. No, Barron Trump's kids will.
The comedy scene's blown up. You live out the last 75 years of your life over there. Life's good. All right.
Yeah. All right. These are goals. Goals for 4th of July.
That's the show. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Peter, thank you for doing it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, wait. Where can people find you? We forgot to get to that part.
Yes. Follow my Instagram, Peter Wong Comedy. I also do sketches on YouTube, and they're weird and they're funny, and they get views. Another 10 cents. NUTHER10CENTS. You can also find my best video, Subway Art, the one I got on Tosh.0. If you just search that in YouTube, it's one of the first few that come up.
Very cool. Subway Art.
Thank you so
much.
Start
with the best.
Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun. And I mean, it's good to know there's guys, people out there that seem very like empathetic to.
Oh, that's us.
Or at least sympathetic to the whole
totally
thing.
Yeah. Well, also, I wanted to learn, and considering my knowledge started at zero, I think I learned something today.
Yeah, my knowledge started higher, went to negative, and now I think I'm back to zero. Thank you.
And I do think, seriously, I think there are a lot of people who are empathetic to this, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. But like, this is a this is probably the most proactive thing. Even like one episode on a podcast is pretty proactive for someone who has no.
All right, high fives.
Who seems to have no eggs in the basket.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I think people are interested in it. It's 4th of July.
If
what better time?
If you
to
have
talk
a congressman
it?
Or woman, you know, send them this episode.
Yes.
Spread the word.
And buy, and then tell them to shop through Amazon so we get a kickback.
And tell them to go on YouTube. We need to make a living.
Absolute blast.
We're going to stay.
That is it, Peter. Thank you, Captain. What should we do?
God bless America, and let's get lost.
Get lost, America.
And the world.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning,
planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.